from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Good morning, Metroplex. It is the hump day edition of Sean and RJ. Choppy out the rest of the week. Golfing in Michigan, we have our Cowboys insider, Bobby Roberto Belt. Peyton in the back, live on the fan cam, Twitch, and YouTube. And I guess I may as well start with this because I had a Tolo DM me, Robert, saying, Sharif, have you been paying as close attention to the Democratic National Convention as you had the Republican convention this year? And my answer was yes. Yes, I have paid the exact same amount of attention. Why do you ask? So I'm eagerly awaiting the opinion that is sure to come over politics. I'm staying up way too late. Wow. Man, the same people that scheduled this stuff scheduled the Stars postseason games. Everything running deep and deep into the night, way too late. And then I like to watch the political commentary and reaction afterwards to see if a fight is started or see how the experts are taking it in. And it's kicking my ass. I'm hoping there's no big-time major speakers tonight so I can shut it down early.
Suckers and losers.
It is. here's my takeaway. Here's my bipartisan equal opportunity hater takeaway is that I assume whenever somebody says, are you paying as much attention to this? I assume they're wanting you to go after the DNC is what it is. It is like, I hope you're poking fun at it. I don't know that they realize whenever every clip I see, basically from every speech, every clip of, oh, look at this joke. They just dunked on them from either side. I was looking to go, do y'all understand how like cringy this comes off as? Like, I'm cringing listening to the, like Steve Kerr doing night the other day, like the Steph Curry thing at the, I almost vomited at how cringy and old man that was.
Oh, okay.
That's how I felt. That was as bad to me as the Hulk Hogan, this is my hero. Both of those were like, what are we doing
here? Last night, I always try to make an SNL skit out of things. Last night, my SNL skit was out of the roll call, and they had this dorky South Park white bald character on stage going, New Hampshire, how do you cast your vote? North Carolina, how do you cast your vote? And then there's, you know, Spike Lee. And Lil, I'm like, y'all are complaining. Apparently, like, Biden or whoever's in charge, the organizers, they're like, man, this ran way too long night one with Biden speaking. So then last night they had the Obamas come out and they're like not taking any of the crowd applause. They're like shutting it down early and there's no gaps in between. And like Kamala's husband goes and then Michelle Obama comes right on and then Barack comes right on. And so they're trying to make adjustments so we don't have to stay up until midnight if you are taking it in. But it was Maryland. How do you cast your
vote? How does the delegate from Maryland vote?
Yeah, exactly. It was a South Park character. So yes, I'm trying to pay equal attention to both. 877-881-1053 is the Franklin Franco Injury Attorney text line. And I don't know if I poked fun. Well, we played Hogan. We poked fun at the debate that ended President Biden.
Yeah, I'm so sad I was not here for that reaction. I would have had so much fun. I think that was the first thing you said that morning because I was listening. I was off that week, but I was listening and I think you said that you're like, I bet Bobby's really missing not being able to come in here and crack jokes this morning.
I love doing those shows with RJ because he maintains balance. Can't tell one way or the other. So I was happy to have you out. You just got to look at a cell phone to tell which way
the
goes.
The back of it, yeah.
Yeah, the back of it. Fire at Cowboys practice yesterday? What the heck happened?
Apparently, there was a fire in one of the players' rooms. I mean, they're about to depart Oxnard. They've just about wrapped things up. But
Meet Church, Matt Pittman just left there yesterday as well. He'll be on at 8:20 with a huge, huge announcement.
So was that him? Was this his grill? Did he leave a grill running before he left?
They were cooking and smoking. Was this out of a room?
It was out of a player's room. Nobody was in there. But apparently one of these players' rooms.
What could set fire besides the air conditioning unit?
They did not. Maybe it's like a Donnie Wahlberg situation. In the 90s when Donnie Wahlberg, he fell asleep with like a cigarette in his mouth and then the whole hotel fire caught like on maybe it's something like that.
Yeah.
But no, they were able to get it under control. But
how many Dallas Cowboys smoke cigarettes right now today? Is there one?
Ooh,
is there one cowboy who like has to step outside or whatever and huff a few heaters?
I've known of in the last 5 years at least three.
Really?
Yes, I won't say who they are because I don't think they want it. I don't even know if they're
LP Latasaur.
I don't even know if they're allowed to. I don't know if they're allowed to.
To smoke?
Like, I don't know if they're allowed to, like, when they do sometimes. Like, yeah, something like that.
No.
So I wouldn't say who. But I know that, yeah, players, surprisingly, because I remember I even talked about it with one of them one time. I was like,
what?
I was like, the conditioning and everything that doesn't, like.
Yeah.
They're like, nope. No problem. They're like, yeah, it's not all the
time. Someone who ran a lot?
Mm-hmm.
All right.
I was kind of surprised.
And I'll wait for the commercial break. But Mike McCarthy confirming all are safe as firefighters respond to smoke pouring from a condo at the training camp. Now, those are some old rooms, too. And that might be like a brush fire just waiting to catch.
How much were you kind of hoping? Like, this was...
Don't
this,
say something stupid.
No, how much were you kind of hoping, like, maybe this was Broadus, like, trying to cook in his room or something, and then, like, they had to shut down the whole facility because Broadus was like grilling in
no
there.
I know that they were grilling. I know that and some things were really being seared yesterday after I talked to Matt Pittman flying back from Oxnard, California, but they were cooking all the steaks, so I don't know if that had anything to do with it. But fire alarms continued to sound as the late afternoon practice began on the adjacent fields, and Ian Rappaport, who joined us yesterday, got the Cowboys spokesman comment. The issue was confined to a single room that was empty at the time. No injuries. Empty at the time. So, there we go. All right.
817 says if G-Bag was there, we'd know it was them because they'd be blazing in that room.
I don't know. Some of the things that were acquired out there that were just swallowed. I don't know if any fire was used in the sobriety level of different colleagues. All right, what happened at practice yesterday?
So it was a good practice for the defense, apparently. Trayvon Diggs gets a interception off of Dak Prescott. According to DallasCowboys.com, they kind of had their practice rundown of everything, which I don't know how much. When we have Brian Broaddus at 8:40, I'm going to be interested to see how much he actually got to like be out there yesterday with Gavin Dawson out sick. And having to come back for the show in the afternoon.
Yeah.
But Trayvon Diggs.
And was Chia follow out?
Yeah. Eric had vacation Monday, Tuesday, and then Dawson was sick yesterday. And so today, Brian's supposed to be leaving early. But Trayvon Diggs, apparently.
Rangers baseball this afternoon.
Yes, until around 5 o'clock. Diggs had
or
a good.
Or 2 o'clock when the game probably will actually be over.
Diggs had a strong practice. Another strong day for Jordan Lewis, according to Nick Harris. He said he bounced back after almost nabbing an interception in the short game that was intended for Jalen Tolbert, who instead wrestled it away. But in the reps to follow, he would prove to be disruptive in the red territory with 2 pass breakups in the red zone. Lewis has proven to be a reliable force at the nickel position during camp and is poised to have a strong 8th NFL season. I think that was one of the more interesting things we probably ascertained out there in no that we probably ascertained out
the
there
the interesting bell from Bobby
that we I think that was one of the things that we had heard out there that fascinated me was how much it seems like the team is really buying into the Jordan Lewis resurgence campaign. Like, they seem really confident in, yeah, he's ready to go, because typically smaller corner you start losing some of that speed, some of that quickness. A guy who's dealt with injuries over the last couple years. I think a lot of us felt like Jordan Lewis could be on his last legs a little bit. He's had a really impressive camp and has been somebody that I think the coaching staff really believes is going to be a key member of what they do in the secondary. And so that was another aspect. Cooper Beebe apparently just continues to build his case to take the center job. He, according to Nick Harris, just had a dominant practice in the one-on-one session, and that they continue to rotate in guys, but Brock Hoffman was getting the first team reps second. So it was leading with Beebe, coming back in with Hoffman. That has become a legitimate contest now for that center position that I didn't think we were going to have. And that's a credit to Beebe, I think, growing as much as he has during this thing. And then
Zach Wolchuk, scouting eye.
That's what it is. It's the Wolchuk scouting eye. I think Aisha liked him, too. Nick Harris also had a lot of praise for Cooper Rush and said that the consistency of these practices brought us to talk about this a little bit. I don't remember if he did it yesterday with us, but I've heard him talk about it, is that Cooper Rush, he thinks, looks like he's taking more command in some of these games and some of these practices, where he's almost feeling the pressure of, all right, Trey Lance is right there, and I need to start showing what I can do a little bit, slinging it around. And he started to practice a little more aggressively and take advantage of some of the things that he's seen. But Nick Harris said that consistency, reliability, each rep throughout practice has been a big thing for Cooper Rush. And Rush hasn't always been a good practice player. Last year, I remember thinking, it was last year, 2 years ago, I thought Rush was going to get cut when I saw him try to throw a ball away and it ended up in Jerry's tower on the Oxnard practice field. It's like, man, that's really bad if you're just trying to throw a ball away and you miss that bad. But Cooper Rush, apparently, it was the Cooper show yesterday with Cooper Rush and Cooper Beebe really standing out at practice.
And Jerry Jones said he needs to see more from Trey Lance, but did add that Lance will be on the Cowboys 53-man roster.
Dun, dun, dun. What a shocker. The guy that they invested a fourth-round pick in and still trying to smooth things over is, boy, I see why they gave up those 3-1s. I can see it.
3-1s. Jerry also gave, I guess what you can call an update on 88.
I don't mean that to be insensitive to our fans or to CD, but we're in good shape there, and we are having promising talks. Say, well, why you keep talking? Won't you do something? Again, as in anything, it takes both of you there at the same time. But I believe it's got the proper amount of everything, emphasis, importance for everybody involved here, and we'll see how it goes.
Okay, so
I'm confused by the context of that quote. And this is what I was trying to figure out yesterday. When he says, I don't mean that to be insensitive to CD and our fans, but we're in good shape there. And then he follows up talking about we're having promising talks. Is he saying we're in good shape with the negotiations, or we're in good shape at the receiver position? Like, hey, no rush. Get here when you get here.
I'm guessing he's saying we're in good shape with the negotiation. I'm guessing.
On either front, no matter what it is, the big debate we had when you were out about, oh, is this something where Jerry meant what he said? Like, did Jerry actually mean I'm in no rush? Like, this is two more times he's talked since then where he keeps doubling down on the idea of, like, it's not a rush to him. So for all the debate of whether, what was he joking or what did he mean here? You know, he said there's no urgency, but that was taken out of context. I think he's shown you in back-to-back statements that he's made during the game last week, yesterday as well. He continues to tell you exactly what the quote said that everybody thought was taken out of context, which is there's no urgency for them. They don't feel any sense of urgency or any sense of, like, deadline to get this done immediately. And I don't know why. I don't know if that's
because they don't care about training camp. They don't think it matters that he's missing training camp as long as he's there for game one against the Browns, which he will be.
But and if that's the case, and I think you're probably right, that's the way that they're approaching it. If that's the case, at what point do you start worrying about souring the individual you're working
with?
Well,
that's why every comment, the only thing I'm tired of breaking these things down. I really am. I'm not blaming you. I know, you know, we're all guilty of trying to fill segments and do content, but, like, breaking this crap, I'm so sick of it. What did he really mean? Is that a subtle shot? When in actuality, it's just Jerry bumbling, rumbling, stumbling. That's really what it probably is. Well, could it be this? It could it be that? We're doing them a favor. We're doing him a favor by just keeping it in the news, trying to decipher, translate, and break down the same freaking damn thing over and over and over and over and over, over again. It's just, I'm so sick and tired of it. The only thing I care about, and I think is funny out of those clips, is he has to start every CD quote with an apology. No, just, I'm just making, I'm not offending anyone. I'm because of what he said in stepping in it. Don't take this the wrong way, and you know, by no means is this disrespect, because it is on a tick off lamb.
I think it's, I think that when you listen to him talk, though, Jerry basically acknowledging with that statement, not just the apology to CD, he recognizes at the very least he's losing this in the court of public opinion with the fans, because he says, I don't mean to be insensitive to our fans or CD. Like, it's something
realizing
where,
now, I think they lost the whole offseason.
No, but I think he recognizes in that specific negotiation, like the Zeke one, there was a lot of people on Dallas' side slow playing that. I think he knows on this one, they're losing in the court of public opinion on that, and he's having to do a little bit of spin. But I don't think, I think all of these comments ultimately come down to, he never wants to look like he's in a bad negotiating position. He never wants to look like he's not in control in these discussions. And that's why he's going to say, I have no urgency because this is on my timeline, not theirs.
Is Chris Young now the best part of the Rangers' embarrassing second half to close things out? And we'll go around the rest of the NFL. How did Brian Flores react to Tua Tagovailoa burying him the other day out of Miami? Around the rest of the...
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.
In life, some days are good and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work, both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
NFL and a quick blip on your Rangers next.
Leo 2. That ball is drilled out into center field on the move. Leote, he slides. Did he make the catch? Apparently not. Coming in to score, Kiner Falefa and Joe. Brian De La Cruz is at first with a 2-run single to give Pittsburgh a 2-0 lead.
Kiner Falefa. Good morning, Metroplex. It's Sean and Bobby with the 6 a.m. Club on your home of the Rangers. For the 7th time this year, they get shut out. 3 hits in all. First loss of the season for Cody Bradford. He went 7 innings, only gave up 3 with 8 strikeouts, no walks, screwed by run support again, and the Pirates shut out your Rangers 4-0 with afternoon baseball today.
Yeah, I will say that was, as a, again, I'm trying to be a little more positive about the Rangers lately because we all know exactly where it's at. I don't need to convince anybody.
More positive. Right now.
I don't need to convince anybody anymore that I was right. Everybody knows I was right. They should have traded everybody away. So now I'm just trying to let's not totally abandon. Cody Bradford is that should have been included yesterday in my reasons to watch, is that even though he lost that game yesterday, there's some encouragement and some excitement for me in watching Cody Bradford progress the way he has this year. Because I didn't, it's similar, honestly, to the Terrence Steele progression. Like, when you watched him the first year, you're like, there's no way that guy is ever going to stick at this level. No chance. And then you watch where it's like, oh, maybe he's got a little something. And then it's like, hey, it's better than that. It's actually, he's pretty good in, you know, from time to time. And if he can develop a consistency, well, then you've found something that you've missed at times whenever you let go of a Cole Reagans or somebody like that. Not that he'll be Reagans level, but he's shown an ability to start striking batters out and get guys out consistently and generate weak contact. And that at least is encouraging, I think.
The nice job, Bobby. Good attempt right there. Spin things. The Ranger who may have the most fire left is the general manager who went viral the other day joining the G-Bag Nation. This, I think, is everything that a sports fan wants to hear. This is a perfect answer from a front office executive. This was Chris Young talking about what he wants and needs to see as the season closes.
You know, I really can't get caught up in it because the standings are the standings. It is what it is. What I want to see us is go out and play winning baseball from here on out. I want us to go play with passion and energy and grit and fight and determination and FU behind them, because this season's been embarrassing for us. This is not what we expected, and I expect our players to be equally as embarrassed as I am about how we've played. And so I want to see us come out, and I want to see us fight to the finish line. Whatever that means in terms of the standings or in the record, that'll happen naturally if we just go out and play good baseball. And I want to see some improvement as we go here. I know this team is capable of more than they've shown, and my expectation is that we do that these last 6 weeks.
That right there. And we kick Chris Young in the nuts a lot over his injury updates and making fun of that they never come true and everything. That, I think, is a perfect answer. And I'm going to take it into a bigger discussion after you get your comment with your lips pressing or whatever it's called over
pressing.
There.
Yeah,
you're like, pursing. 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 Pursing.
No, I was actually, it may be the comment that you were just going to make or was going to be the angle you're going to take, which is, we've seen all the reports in the last month, like, he's still without a deal.
Exactly where I was going.
And does this sound like somebody who's trying to get the guys together? Or does this sound like somebody who knows he's heading out the door, so he's going to talk more freely than he has?
I don't know. I hadn't really thought about it like that. My thought and question was, with all the rumors you hear about ownership around here, that they don't want to spend anymore and they're going to keep it cheap, is Chris Young too fiery of a guy that he may leave the Rangers situation? Again, this was a not talked about story at all until early June when the update came out that Chris Young and the Rangers were discussing a contract extension. Okay, we're here at August 21st. Now, maybe this is as simple as, all right, when game 162 is done, the next day, I'm signing up for the extension. I'm just throwing it out there as a possibility. I don't know. A question. Is this a winning enough environment, ownership-wise, for Chris Young? And would Ranger fans freak out if Chris Young left? This can be a topic tomorrow or another day. So don't steal this, Corey Majors, if you're listening. You are the baseball show of record. You don't need our topics. Are we giving everyone a basic pass this year on the Rangers? Are we giving Boch just... That's what it feels like to me. Boch, CY, ownership with the TV drama, different players. Are we just kind of giving everyone a pass? That'll be a topic for another day, but how would people react if Chris Young rolled out of here and we come to find out a reason is he doesn't believe in ownership continuing to try to keep a World Series true contender on the field? I'm just putting that out in the ether before something happens so I can say I was right.
Full-fledged Ranger fan meltdown, I think, would occur if Chris Young left. That's what I think would happen. And that's, like I said, when I hear him talk like that, it is fresh and it's unique and it's not just for...
He's also a high burnout guy. I think he would tell you that himself. Like, this guy, I mean, he's... I could see how he he can't last somewhere a very, very long time because he's so intense. That's just a theory.
No, I don't think it's a bad one because it does. It's a little bit of like the Harbaugh effect that people have talked about before.
Yep.
Where it's just the intensity. You could only burn the candle at both ends so long before you get tired and before people get tired of it. And so there's that factor there. But when you hear him talk like that, that was my first thought hearing the quote was, does this sound like a guy who's like, I got nothing else to lose because I don't even know if I'm here next year. So I'm not worried about talking in these political terms that I normally do.
If players get rubbed the wrong way or ticked off, man, I'm not here for it.
Yeah, the Tolos on the Fantech, Sean, are weighing in. 214 says if Ray gets rid of Chris, the entire fan base will turn on him. 214 also says Boach wins every other year, which is true. He did with the Giants. They win the World Series. They, you know, miss the playoffs the next year. And the following year, they win the World Series. So maybe this is just Boach's magic.
I'll tell you what, this would become instantly, obviously not the same exact success, but just in terms of being a supernova, here it is that it's gone, would be, I think Rangers fans would start talking about Chris Young in Jimmy Johnson-like terms if he left. Of just like, this Whoa. Is just how you let somebody go away who led us to the promised land, and you let petty things get in the way.
That is interesting. 877-881-1053, live on the FanCam, Twitch, and YouTube. A good morning to Tejano Boy, Robert. We got Pick and Pop, Gregory, Cam, and Claim also.
It's K-Twiz. Cam is K-Twiz.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
K-Twiz, big time Tolo. All right, let's update the rest of the National Football League. You want to go to, well, let's go to Tua. Tua and Flores. In case you missed it yesterday, this is what we played of the Dolphins quarterback on with Dan Le Batard destroying his former head coach, Brian Flores.
To put it in simplest terms, if you woke up every morning and I told you you suck at what you did, that you don't belong doing what you do, that you shouldn't be here, that this guy should be here, that you haven't earned this right, and then you have somebody else come in and tell you, dude, you are the best fit for this. Like, you are accurate, you are the best whatever, you are this, you are that. Like, how would it make you feel listening to one or the other? You see what I'm saying? And then you hear it, regardless of what it is, the good or the bad, and you hear it more and more, you start to actually believe that. I don't care who you are. You can be the president of the United States. You have a terrible person that's telling you things that you don't want to hear or that you probably shouldn't be hearing. You're going to start to believe that about yourself. And so that's sort of like what ended up happening. And it was, I mean, it's basically been, 2 years of training that out of not just me, but, you know, a couple of the guys as well that have been here since my rookie year. All the way till now.
A terrible person just crapping all over you. That is Brian Flores, Belichick, understudy, former head coach, now in Minnesota. And yesterday, as fate would have it, Brian Flores had to take the podium.
You know, specific to, you know, the comments that were made by Tua, I just want to say, look, I'm genuinely happy for the success that Tua's had, and I really wish him nothing but the best. And you know, I think, you know, player relationships are very important to me. I think that's kind of the foundation of coaching. I mean, I got into coaching because, you know, I was impacted as a young guy by my high school coaches, my college coaches, my going all the way to Pop Warner. I got into coaching because, you know, I want to make that same kind of impact, positive impact, pour into young people, help them become, you know, as KO says all the time, the best versions of themselves. And you know, that's really my goal always in coaching. I wish nothing but the best to Tua.
Little robotic. And Brian Flores, he may be dead inside. I don't know. But he was a sympathetic figure at one point in Miami where it was like, oh my gosh, this guy has principles and morals. And Stephen Ross is a bad dude, the owner. And now Tua just did a humongous favor, in my mind, to Stephen Ross. And I'm like, Brian Flores, I'm never hiring him as a head coach.
Yeah, and that was something that we had talked about. I think when that happened, that was the end of the 22 season, wasn't it?
I don't know.
I can't remember when I was. Or no, it was the end of 21. And so I know I had talked about that with you and Choppy off the air at one point. It was like, there's a reputation of his that's not out there right now that I think if it was brought out right now in the middle of these claims, looks petty.
He gave one more comment that I thought was a little bit more real with some feelings.
That hit me in a way that, you know, wasn't, I wouldn't say it was, you know, positive for me. But at the same time, I've got to use that and say, hey, how can I grow from that? You know, how can I be better? That's really where I'm at from that standpoint. Do I feel like, you know, that's me? No. But, you know, how can I grow from that situation and create a world where that's not, you know, the case that anyone says that about Brian Flores?
C-. Give him a C- for his response there.
Why?
So I think he did a good job, humanized himself, talk about learning from what Tua said right there. How do I learn from this, be better from it? He used the passive-aggressive phrase of wish him nothing but the best. I never view that as a genuine phrase. If you're saying that, you're telling me I'm pissed off and I'm not saying anything about it. So use the passive-aggressive phrase there. And then at the end, he refers to himself in third person. How do I make sure nobody says that about Brian Flores?
Yeah.
And so to me, it's like, I still get the sense of ego stroke and passive aggressiveness within your comments.
I need some help and expert advice on hail damage, and we preview Peyton's wieners next. Ooh. On Sean and Bobby. Back to the Cowboys at 7, a Cat Williams ticket giveaway during the 720 Expressway.
Pimpin'.
Matt Pittman, a.k.a. Meat Church, with a humongous announcement at 8:20. Brian brought us for the final time from Oxnard at 8:40. I'm Sean Treif alongside our Cowboys insider, Bobby Belt. And at 7:40, we needed a replacement. This could be awful radio, but we need to trust. We need to trust, and more importantly, we needed a replacement for Choppy's segment since he's in Michigan, where Peyton Russell is going to do a cooking experiment with us.
Now, this is a question you can ask, you know, why'd you think of it? You know, a lot of Tolos last week in the payload when I brought this question up were like, were you high when you thought of this question? No, I was not.
Isn't there weed soda or something in there?
Yeah, there's like there's Delta soda or THC soda or something in there.
But the question was, why don't we season our hot dogs, our wieners? We season pork, ground beef, chicken, seafood, everything else. But hot dogs. And I'm like, are we just satisfied as human beings about the taste of the hot dog? Mm-hmm. And I was thinking, I think you can spice it up a little bit. You don't have to put a ton on it. Now, you know, Sean, you and RJ were saying the sodium and all that. So I was like, I agree with that, you know, part of it. But I was like, there's got to be more, you know, some dry rub, something else to spice up the wiener a little bit. So we're going to try it today.
All right. So how many different combinations, how many different experiments do you have? And would you bring in like a, like a microwave the hot dogs?
I have an air fryer.
Oh!
You talked about the air fryer, and I'd never done that before with the hot dog. I'd only put on the grill or the skillet, and so I was like,
an air fryer.
My own air fryer.
Yeah, because I was not. I would rather eat a hot dog like in the end hot sauce than you microwave them in that microwave. My dude, God, it's disgusting.
Microwavable hot dogs in general.
Yeah.
Not good.
Can you tell the difference?
Yeah.
Between that and just boiling it?
Yes, I can't. Boiling, I think, is much better. Like, it almost like it burns it almost on the outside. It gives it a weird taste.
So how many different things do you have to try it in?
So we have 5 different seasonings here, but we have the Blanco from Meat Church.
Okay.
Shout out Meat Church, 8:20 today.
Yeah.
We have a Sweet Heat seasoning, barbecue seasoning, Sweet Heat.
Okay.
And then we have salt, pepper, garlic. So okay. You can put all 3 of those together, or you can just do garlic, or if the salt's too much, you can do pepper and garlic, all something right. like that. But what
you're going to make like 3 hot dogs, just split them. Me and Bobby would try a bite of a half.
Exactly. Now I'm thinking, I brought hot dog buns. Will the bun, and I've got ketchup and mustard. Do you eat it with like a full hot dog with ketchup, mustard, and the bun? Mm. Or you just eat the weenie? Because if you just eat the wiener, then, you know, you get the full experience, but I feel like the bun and the ketchup mustard might, you know,
deflect it.
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah, I feel like in order to give this the review that it needs, you're just going to have to fork and knife, you know, just eat the wiener. I think that's what you're going to have to
do. No bun?
Yeah, that's what I'm going to do. I'm just going to eat it straight and then be able to know, like, be able to review just that taste alone, because the bread might dull some of it if it was actually too intense, or I don't know. We'll have to, of course, the argument could be made, I'm not eating a hot dog straight any other time, right? So I'd be eating it with a bun, so I need to see if it tastes better there. But I'm curious, are you going to be seasoning and then putting in the air fryer, or are you seasoning post air fryer?
No, I will season then air fryer. I think I have to cook it with it, or else the seasoning just sits on top of it. I don't know. I've never seasoned something after I've cooked
it. Isn't the air fryer going to blow off the seasoning?
I don't know. How are you going to keep the seasoning on it? Is the hot dog like wet enough?
Well, so I have like Pam spray.
Oh, perfect.
Like that, so I can just spray it and
good to go.
But I'm not going to cook it for 20 minutes and have the hot dog explode. Like, it'll just heat it up a little bit. Yeah. Get a little brown.
Yeah. All right. So was this a big ass air fryer? Ours is huge. The Ninja.
It's a pretty good size. I mean, I can carry it in one arm, but
wow. Yeah.
All right. So there it is.
Yesterday.
We'll have Peyton's wiener experiment at 7:40 during the Cat Williams ticket giveaway.
What's your anticipate? Do you think this is going to go well or not?
For radio?
Not as a segment, as like, are you going to taste and be like, this has changed my life?
No, but I don't think, salt, pepper, garlic is going to be. I was hoping he wasn't going to screw with us. I'm hoping he doesn't have some type of surprise. I didn't know if he's going to throw something crazy in there, like truffle oil or whatever he brought
ghost
back.
Pepper.
Italy. Oh, ghost pepper.
Da bomb as a binder.
Yeah. Da bomb as a binder. Exactly. All right. You sent an email last night saying, screw Madden. Forget NCAA 25. This game is what it's all about. And I've never heard of what the hell you're talking about.
All right. This is very important that anybody who knows, I know there are going to be some people out there who don't know what I'm talking about, and that's fine. Those who know what I'm talking about, I need you to respond on the YouTube, the Twitch, the Fantext to back me up on what I'm about to say. And Peyton Russell, if you're one of these kids, I'm going to need you to back me up. So you are. Okay. Mm-hmm. Backyard Sports is back.
Yes.
They made the announcement yesterday. Backyard Baseball is on its way back. I don't give a damn about EA Sports College Football anymore. I don't give a damn about Madden. F NBA 2K, the OG backyard baseball game on PC from the late 90s, early 2000s, is the greatest sports video game of all time. The greatest sports video game of all time. I still
remember. What is it called?
Backyard Baseball. Okay. And they made other iterations of it.
They have backyard football as well.
Backyard football, backyard soccer. But backyard baseball is the one.
Okay, I'm going to blindly challenge you here.
Mm-hmm.
And I need your help on the Frank LaFranco injury attorney text line. RBI baseball. And now it's blanking me. Oh, Baseball Stars. Wasn't that the video game? Baseball Stars? Are you familiar
with
that?
Like the Ken Griffey one?
No.
I know RBI.
RBI baseball. It is Baseball Stars. It can't be better than Baseball Stars.
The Fantex is blowing up. You're getting a bunch of LFG, Backyard Sports. Pablo Sanchez is back, baby. That's right. Pablo Sanchez, the greatest video game player of all time, is Pablo Sanchez.
So this is not real teams then?
No. So what it is basically it's a cartoon video game. Like, it's very cartoon looking.
Okay. I'm looking at it right now.
Yeah, but it's I always loved it because it was...
Looks like a bunch of characters off the movie Up.
It's basically a bunch of like kid characters, and it's Sandlot baseball. So you pick your teams, and they have ratings and everything else. You get in there, and you play the baseball game, and it's always in somebody's backyard. But each backyard looks like a unique stadium field. So it's like, oh, you've got one backyard where there's these bushes, and when you hit it over the bushes in left field, like, it lands in a pool, or one is a sandlot. Another is like a football field where they've just set up, bases and stuff like that. So
Cam says backyard baseball is awesome. Joseph says, say what? Solo says bases loaded is what it's all about. And then Joseph is asking, what game system is this for?
So they've done PC, mobile, a bunch of different. I don't know. They were very vague about the release details yesterday. They said it's coming back. Sign up for details. But it kind of blew up the internet with some people yesterday. Ruben and I were talking about this in Oxnard because he was playing the game on his phone, the mobile version.
Oh.
And we just started going back and forth about how we picked our rosters back in the day. 903, Bobby's not right often, but he's spot on this one.
Okay.
430, this game was the absolute S. People love it, man.
So you're going to get it.
I'm getting this and I'm disappearing for a week. I can tell you, Mikey Thomas, a catcher, Pete Wheeler at first base. You had Keisha Phillips in left field. Pablo Sanchez playing center. Angela Del Vecchio was my pitcher. Her brother Tony was playing shortstop most of the time. I absolutely love this game.
Juan says Sean was too busy on LimeWire. No, Baseball Stars. Baseball Stars is my number one seed video game. Luke on Twitter says, Bobby's not kidding. Backyard baseball is my favorite game growing up. Hands down, it is amazing. So there you go. A rare victory with the people for Roberto. All right, I have a humongous loss myself. Yesterday, I turned my wife's car back in off her lease. And I was like, all right, the only thing I'm worried about, cleaning up the ceiling a little bit. Ollie may have, you know, thrown a drink up in the air once. The interior, my wife does a great job keeping the car clean. Are we going to have like a little cracked piece of leather? Well, I turn it in and I need help with this. Y'all, I need your expertise and advice on what to do because this has never happened to me before. The guy starts like looking at the car out in the parking lot and I'm getting ready to like take the car off my insurance and not have a $6,000 car insurance with three different vehicles on there. I'm getting ready to deduct that thing by 2K. And he's like, there's some hail damage. I was like, okay. Like a speck, two specks. Like she parks in the garage. My car has been sitting outside for 4 years. Hers is in the garage. And no, looking at it a little bit more serious. I'm going to have to get my manager, go ahead and take a look. I go inside, wait for my wife to pick me up. We're going to go to a lovely lunch afterwards. Comes back inside. I was like, a little more than I anticipated. That's going to be... Now, Peyton, have you ever dealt with hail damage, fixing it or repairing it?
No.
Bobby?
Nope.
I looked over... Now, this is a black vehicle, so maybe more difficult to see, but there was nothing obvious to me. Like, I could see, like, yeah, maybe, like, some little small dents from a hailstorm, in my opinion, unprofessional opinion. $2,000. $2,000. They're trying to sit there and tell me that that's what it would cost to repair the hail damage. So I'm like... That's gross. That's ridiculous. You guys are overcharging me. They're like, well, do you have a deductible? Like, just go ahead and, just go ahead and get your, you know, pay your deductible, your $500 deductible, and then good to go. And I was like, yeah, I guess I could do that, but I want to find out if you're ripping me off. So y'all tell me, what is $2,000 worth of hail damage look like? Like, if there's, let's say, like, seven little circles. I don't know how many there are. I'm just trying to gauge it. Cause I was like, no, what I'm going to do is I'm going to come pick up the vehicle. I'm going to take it to my guy, Tolo Mike, best mechanic in the Metroplex, get him to do it. And then I'm going to turn it back into you. But then I got to go and pick it up and then drive it to Mike and then wait on any type of turnaround and then take it back. And now I'm like, I'm gearing up for a fight. I'm gearing up for a battle, but I need to know what $2,000 worth of hail damage is, or am I blatantly getting ripped off?
Are they repainting it? Or are they having to paint it? Because I feel like that would be $2,000 worth if there's
not
like,
paint.
Not paint.
No way. No way. It needs new paint.
Wow.
No way.
So we got the Sethnicity on Twitch says dealerships always overcharge for hail damage. 817. I had over $11,000 of hail damage repairs on my truck.
Whoa.
Yeah. Somebody says 2K is on the low end. 903 says it's usually 6 or 7K.
Oh.
214. I had 6K worth of hail damage on my car a few years ago. Thank goodness for insurance.
$1,000.
So yeah, this is
all right. So it's sounding like I'm right now.
You got
now,
a deal, Sean.
not getting ripped off. Man.
We had a guy tell us, this is 469, we had a guy tell us $750 for hail damage, and I said, screw that, filed an insurance claim. They wound up getting $4K from the insurance.
Wow. Oh, man. Yep, take it to your mechanic, let him look at anything, let alone one of your adjusters. All right, so I just needed to know, obviously, Texas, big, huge issue here. What?
214, I had 10 small dents, the company charged $7,000. Damn.
Look at my phone. Lighten it up right here. Tolo, Dwayne. Oh, Dwayne's talking about the hot dogs. That's all he cares about. He's caring about Peyton's segment at 7:40 during the commercial free expressway, where we also hook you up with Cat Williams tickets and how RJ may finally, he's been nailing it the past few years, how RJ may finally be wrong about the Cowboys season after this.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. to be.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.